Thank you, Wendy. Bless you. Yeah, don't make off with that one. No, I'm kind of going to need that one. Bless you. Thank you, Wendy. If you've got a Bible with you, you might like to turn to Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 and onward, or you might like to just read it off the screen because it's going to say just the same thing. Thinking about screen wisdom, thank you for the subject. It's a great and a relevant topic. The trouble is, as I started to look at it, it's a huge topic. You get a series out of this one thing quite nicely. But I've not got a series here. Don't worry, it's just one sermon. What does the Bible say? The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness and orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Let's just pause for a minute and let God's truth sink into our hearts and minds. Father God, we have opened your word. Help us to see its truth today. We ask your help now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Android phone or whatever you've got, iPhone, whatever your phone is. What an amazing tool it is, isn't it? Hey? It is an amazing tool. I keep in touch with my extended family wherever I am. It's wonderful. If I'm away for the day, my wife knows exactly where I am and can track my progress home when I'm on a journey. I always have a camera with me. Isn't that great? And a video camera. It's a wonderful tool. I can answer my emails throughout the working day. I keep track of my diary, and every time I enter it into the diary on my phone, it networks all the diaries wherever they are. I mean, it's just an amazing tool, isn't it? You can go on and on about this amazing device. You can watch TV on it. I can listen to the radio. I can catch up my favourite radio programmes I've missed. That's not the half of it. It's such a clever thing, isn't it? I mean, once you've got one, you think, how on earth could I ever live without it? It's a great tool. But it can also be a curse, can't it? Let's face it. And I suppose that is true about any tool that has ever been. Blessing and curse. The thing itself is neutral. It's people that can put it to perverted purposes. So why is it a curse? Young people and children are sleeping poorly at night these days because they take it to bed. And they're talking to each other during the night. It's become a vehicle for all kinds of cruel bullying, all kinds of pressures. Texting becomes sexting. An unwise photograph becomes revenge porn. And while it is true that actually only 4% of websites contain pornography, it's a minority thing actually on the internet. You can get to them so easily, can't you? That's the problem. And there are subtler and equally destructive pressures. What did Jesus say? I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. And what does slavery do? Slavery takes away your freedom. And what we're talking about this morning is freedom. Jesus wants you and I to live lives that are free. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Freedom. Freedom means you're free to do what you want. You're free to go where you want. You're free to make choices. That's what freedom is about. And slavery takes away freedom. And sin takes away freedom. So when we open our Bible and talk about stuff, what we're talking about is keeping your freedom, keeping your choices. Don't you want that? Come on. This is a great and a good and a wonderful thing. God is not up there with, you know, wagging his finger and trying to spoil all your fun. He's trying to keep your choices. Yes? He wants you to be truly free. And the fruit of the Holy Spirit is self-control. And we all need self-control if we're going to keep our freedom. Sin is about slavery. It's about becoming enslaved for all eternity to a really cruel master. Do you want that? No. And yet that is the state of our neighbors all around us, whether they realize it or not. Sin is about addiction, it's about exploitation, it's about degradation, it's about treating people who God loves as things to be used and exploited. Is that right? No. So how are we going to gain and how are we going to keep our freedom? The devil is a liar, right? But the subtlest thing he does is he tells you a half-truth. A half-truth. So like he says, if you eat this fruit, you're not actually going to drop dead. Well, that's a half-truth, isn't it? But when they ate the truth, that fruit, they did die. They died spiritually. The devil loves to tell you half a truth. And the bit that is a bit of truth in there, you know, is the thing we want to hear. That's his hook to catch us. So what does the Bible say? Let's read this out loud together, because we surely need to read it today. Ready? You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. What on earth is Jesus saying here? Is he saying we ought to start chopping ourselves to bits? Is it a kind of a parable? Is it a metaphor? When he was talking about chopping off hands and gouging out eyes? Well, the fact is, my dear friends, if the choice really is an eternity in the fires of hell or losing an eye, it's a no-brainer, isn't it? Come on, it is. This is not really a metaphor. This is truth. And what Jesus is saying is, look, guys, sin is serious stuff. Don't toy with it. Don't play around with it. It's not a game. God is not going to wink at sin. He never has and he never will. There are not degrees of sin. Sin is sin. It doesn't matter if you committed adultery and say, well, I didn't kill anybody. You've broken God's law. It's sin. And for those sins, the Lord Jesus Christ had to die to set us free. We all need that forgiveness, and we need it every day. A clean start. But with it comes the challenge. We should walk as Jesus walked. If we name the name of Christ, we should be like him. So when it comes to sin, what does Jesus say? He says, my dear friends, cut it out, right? That's what this is about. Don't toy with it. Cut it out. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery, but I tell you, anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in her heart. In the eyes of God, looking at another woman lustfully, including the image of another woman, is as bad as the adulterous act itself. Your wife may not agree, but in the eyes of God, that is so. Right? Why? Because it is feeding your thought life with pure poison. It is distorting your thinking. It is hijacking your values. It is squeezing your mind into this world's mold. And when you do that, you lose your freedom, and so do a whole bunch of other victims, whether you realize it or not. The Bible says, I will not look with approval on anything that is vile. Put it on the top of your telly. You know? Have it as the screensaver on your mobile phone. I will not look with approval on anything that is vile. It couldn't be clearer than that. There are other, more subtle, but equally destructive pressures. Have you done this? Happened to me this week. Driving down the motorway, I was going down an A road, mercifully, and my mind was out for lunch, I think, you know? I was totally tuned out, driving to the next thing. And my phone pings. And the next thing I know, without realizing it, because I didn't mean to, I'm starting to look at the phone and I bump the curb. You ever done that? Come on, I won't make anyone put their hand up, but I'm putting my hand up right now. I mean, it is brain dead, isn't it? And yet, we've probably, most of us, done it. It is illegal to make a phone call or to look at your text. The lorry driver that killed all those people, he was doing this on his phone. He was texting, and he wiped out a family. And it happened just a few months back. What? Do you know? But we've all done it. It is wrong. It is dangerous. It is illegal. Or you're on holiday. You're on the beach, maybe. Your phone is starting to unwind, and your phone pings, and it's an email from work. And you plonker, looked at it, didn't you? And suddenly your mind is back at work, and you're not getting the holiday you so badly need. Well, and then you look at me and say, oh, well, I never did that, because I know jolly well you did. That way, madness lies. You will make yourself ill. And there are so many commandments in Scripture about you needing rest. Come on. So, Let this thought guide you. When you need to switch off, your phone does too, right? Yes? Or at least turn off the notifications so they don't keep pinging at you. I have to get my wife to do these things for me. I don't know how to do it, Sue. The holiday's started. Can you switch off? All? I don't want to see my emails. Can you do this? You know? And she does it. Yeah. Right. Self-control takes time to grow. It would be wonderful if it was like a gift of the Holy Spirit. God just gives it to you. Here, boom, self-control. Now you've got it. No. As an old poster I saw in a school said, God give me patience, but make it quick. Unfortunately, it doesn't happen like that, does it? No. Self-control is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And if you know anything about gardening, fruit, you've got to fertilize the plant, you've got to prune the plant, you've got to look after that plant, you've got to encourage that plant. Yes? So that the plant grows. And that means that if you want self-control with your mobile phone, you're going to have to work at it. And it ain't going to be easy, right? And it isn't going to all arrive overnight. Which is why we've got this now. And there's another subtler thing. Let me talk about Facebook. Does your family look perfect like this all the time? No. Neither does mine. No. Because believe me, the four-year-old has a meltdown. The little cousins, one second they're playing beautifully together, and the next thing they're fighting, you know, really, you know, and there's almost bloodshed. Yes? Never happens in your family? Oh, happens every day. Right, okay. Yes, okay. So your family doesn't look like this all the time. No. And yet, on Facebook, it does, doesn't it? Because on Facebook, it seems it's okay to tell lies. And to project this artificial image of our family life as if it was always a sunny day out at Heskham or something. Do you know what I mean? Because you pick those best pictures and you put them on Facebook as if every day you're having a wonderful time, when the truth is every day you're hanging on by your fingernails. God, please don't let me wring his neck, you know. And that's just your husband. No. So it matters. It matters. I stopped using Facebook and took it all off the internet when I realized one day I was taking a zillion photographs on my day out just to put on Facebook. And I realized what I was doing. And I was thinking, this isn't right. This is another form of slavery, isn't it? Come on, guys, it is. Now, I like taking photographs, but not for that reason. And so you won't find me on Facebook now. And to project this wrong image, it only depresses other people. You know, it's not kind. So that's another reason. Perhaps not to use Facebook. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just saying it how it appears to me. Does this make any kind of sense to you? Self-control. Self-control. We're all wired differently. But I guess most of us, if we aren't very careful, would have an addictive behavior of one kind or another. For some, it's gambling. I hate gambling, but for some, it's a problem. Yeah? For some, that problem is alcohol. My brother was an alcoholic, and it killed him. For another person, their addiction is the stuff they're looking at on their phone. or their tablet. We're all wired differently. But whatever your weakness, if it becomes an addiction, you lost your freedom, haven't you? And that's not good for you. It's sin, and you've lost your freedom. And we all sometimes need a bit of help. The Bible says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. And if I'm honest, I kind of envy the Catholic Church in this, because they're more biblical than we are. Because I know there's some theology that's attached to confession in the Catholic Church that I don't agree with. But actually, they obey this scripture. And you and I mostly don't, do we? Hands up anyone that's confessed their sins to somebody else this week. Well, you're either not owning up or you haven't done it. Because I haven't. Why is that verse there? It's because we need to do it. You need, in a sense, a confessor, someone that you trust, another Christian that you trust well enough that you can, you know, talk this stuff through, particularly if it's an addictive thing, because they can help keep tabs with you and how your week's gone until you're free of it. And don't think that they're above you, because we all struggle with stuff. We all struggle with stuff. Another thing that can help is the old-fashioned Nokia phones. They're actually coming back into fashion, I gather, because the batteries lasted forever and they were just about indestructible, and they're just phones. In fact, I've got a colleague in Counties whose phone looks like this. And good on him. Because if all you want is a phone call and a text, it does the job, doesn't it? If you don't want a lot of the other stuff, you're not going to be hassled with it with an old-fashioned Nokia phone, are you? And actually, I'm told they're coming back into fashion because some people just want a phone. So if you just want a phone, what's not to like? I'm serious. And if the other sort of phone is being a pain in the neck to you, then get a Nokia. That'd be jolly cheap. Let's face it. My son recommends this website. Social services recommend it all the time. Schools recommend it. Make a note if you've not come across it. saferinternet.org.uk. It's a great website that talks you through the settings for every app, browser, and social media site. It's a guide for parents. It's a guide for teachers. It's a guide for children. It shows you how to set privacy settings and parental controls for just about everything. Saferinternet.org. If you've not looked at it and you have any kids around everywhere, maybe it's time you did. And another thing, Jesus says, when you fast, not if you fast, when you fast. And there are benefits from fasting from food, and many people have found that fasting from screens gives a kind of a detox, a refocus on the things that matters most. We've already been talking about that this morning, so I don't need to talk about it anymore. The grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in the present age. It teaches us to say no. And one other thing. Entirely. So this week I'm listening on the radio to one of President Donald Trump's top advisors. And, you know, you'd think an advisor for that president would have a brain the size of a planet, wouldn't you? Yes? No, apparently, you don't need much brain power at all. This lady was telling us all, because us Brits apparently don't realise this, that there's no such thing as global warming. Apparently, no such thing. And when the interviewers pressed her on the subject and said, well, why do all the scientists think they are there are then, you know? Why do all the scientists think there's such a thing as global warming? And she said, I'd love to know. And I'm thinking, what? So apparently, there is no such thing as global warming because she and Donald say so, and say so very loudly. And every scientist on the planet, well, don't know what they're talking about because she and Donald have got it sussed. Good. Isn't that, well, the world is in safe hands. With the leader of a free world like that, we're all in safe hands, goodness sakes. Somebody hide the red button, please. So, but why, my American daughter-in-law and her mum are like this, please, I don't want to, you know. So, why did anyone vote for him and why does anyone believe him? Because people do. Because, my friends, it is convenient to believe this particular fantasy. Because then it means that big business in the United States of America can carry on as it has been without any challenging changes. That the rest of the world, including China, are coming to grips with. And there's something in this for you and me as Christians. Because it is easy to believe a fantasy because you want to. Here's another one. This one really gets me cross. This is a really old fantasy. If you go to Glastonbury, right in the ruins of the abbey, right underneath where the high altar used to be, there used to be the grave, get this, of King Arthur and Queen Guinevere. Well, that's amazing, because there never was anybody called Queen Guinevere, and it's a bit dubious about whether Arthur really was either. It depends what you believe. I'm speaking as a historian now. There never was a Guinevere. That is a really recent invention. So why, in medieval times, did they invite the king to, you know, look at the reburying of King Arthur and Queen Guinevere? Why? Well, it was an outrageous lie told to make money from the gullible. And it is entirely the reason why it continues to be told in Glastonbury today, right? It's called tourism. Then it was called pilgrimage, but it amounted to exactly the same thing, money. And why did then all these people believe the fantastic lie when it was peddled by the monks? And why do they still continue to believe it? Because they want to. Now, Jesus said over and over and over again, I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth. You can trust every word that the Lord Jesus Christ said. Many people didn't want to hear the truth. They still don't. But he said it anyway, didn't he? Right. So you and I, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, must take the issue of truth seriously. And just because somebody else that's a Christian is saying something doesn't mean it's the truth. Check it out, right? Because I don't know about you, I like the current Pope, but if he spouts something that I'm thinking, not sure about, I'm going to check it out, right? Even if the Pope says it, right? And I'm sorry, guys, but if you say something which I think might be eyewash, I'm going to check that out too, right? And just because you saw it on YouTube, well, especially if you saw it on YouTube, it doesn't mean it isn't eyewash. It probably means it is eyewash, right? Because there's a load of garbage on YouTube because anybody can say anything. And I like YouTube, by the way. It's just that I treat it very carefully. This is biblical. My dear friends, do not believe every spirit, the Bible says, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. We should test everything against this and against the consensus of reputable, hear that word, scientific opinion. You needn't be afraid of the discovery of scientific thought. Why? Because scientists are thinking God's thoughts after them. He made this wonderful and amazing universe. He thought of the rules of mathematics before you and I were, you know. Everything that scientists discover, every new discovery, and it's exciting. We should be going, wow, did God think of that? Isn't that amazing? And you needn't be scared of the truth. Are you scared of the truth? I'm not. You shouldn't be scared of the truth. We should be dealers in truth. We should treat it with integrity, especially if it comes over your mobile phone on your screen, right? So don't believe everything you hear, even if Donald says so. Don't believe everything you hear, even if the BBC says so. I'm not being funny here, but our news cycle has got a weird idea of what news is. Because apparently news is only news unless it's really bad. And if it's really, really, really bad, then that is big news. And that gives you a really poisoned idea of what's actually happening in our world. Can I tell you an amazing thing? I spent all my time in schools. Our schools are wonderful places. There are these dedicated teachers doing their very best for these kids, these beautiful children who you know, actually behave themselves. Did you realise this? And learn stuff. And do you know, our schools in Somerset are wonderful places, but you wouldn't believe that if you read them. You know, the Ofsted reports and the, you know, it's all going to hell in a handcart. My son has rushed off to Musgrove yesterday with kidney stones. And, you know, he had wonderful treatment. He was seen quickly. They did all the right things. You know, and our National Health Service isn't actually going to hell in a handcart. It's mostly wonderful. Not for because the government's got it all sussed. It surely hasn't on any level. But our nurses and doctors are wonderful. And are you hearing me here? I'm saying, take a fresh look at it. And whatever you hear, take it with a large pinch of salt. And don't be afraid of the truth. I would love to speak more about that. Screen wisdom. Be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. God bless you all. I forgot to say anything about ourselves. Our latest prayer letter is at the back. Do need your prayers. Can I turn 65 this year? And yes, I have been coming here more than 35 years, Wendy. 30 years, Wendy. More, not 35 yet. 30 years. It's not looking like it's going to slow down this year. Big headlines for your prayers, please. Planning to write the RE syllabus from top to bottom, rewrite the whole thing in Somerset schools. Going to be fun, be brilliant for the gospel. I managed to persuade my RE advisor, who was up for it anyway. I've managed to persuade the diocese, who weren't up for it but now are, and I've even managed to persuade the local authority to pay for it, which is really motoring. The little thing is I've got a sacre meeting coming up, and you'll see it on the prayer letter. Please, please, please pray that we manage to persuade all our sacre members of the necessity for this. Will you please pray? and then I can spend the next year rewriting the entire RE syllabus and getting a whole lot of new exemplars, which are even better than the stuff that's currently up there. Second little thing is that a door seems to be opening up in history, of all things. I'm really a historian by passion. You say, what has that got to do with the gospel? Well, there's a secular narrative being told. And actually, the world is the way it is because of what God's been doing for 2,000 years. And that is never told to the kids. I haven't got time to tell you about that now. And I've got this niggle to hijack the entire history teaching because it is in a real mess across our schools nationally because of government policy, of course, because nobody knows what they're doing anymore. Now, I'm not talking about Brexit. I'm talking about history and I'm talking about education because there's no QCDA, there's no subject advisors locally, and the teachers haven't got time because they're filling in too much paperwork. So, hijack the history teaching. Why not? My local head, I'm governor at North Petherton School, he's really up for it. We're going to overturn the entire history teaching across the whole school and then put it on a website and roll it out, really, basically. That's the plan. You might pray for that. I'm dead excited about that. And counties. Oh, I haven't got time to tell you about counties. It is going from strength to strength at a time when other setups are folding, sad to say. Counties is in amazing good health. We got real exciting plans. We are merging with the church planting initiative. It's got a network of 600 church planters across the UK. There's so much exciting stuff happening. And we've got a new counties evangelist, or about to have a counties evangelist for North Somerset, Craig, and I will be mentoring him. Dead exciting about all of those developments. I haven't got time to tell you about that. Get the newsletter. If you don't get it, see me afterwards, and I will email it or mail it to you because I do need your prayers. God bless you all. Thank you, Wendy.